Welcome to the Christ Community Church podcast. Kevin Allman here with Pastor Richard White. Welcome, Richard.
Good morning, Kevin.
Well, we're going to dive right into a really important question here. Let me just read it to you.
Okay.
I'm concerned about the way the world we live in interprets love, and I worry about the perspective that my children are getting. Could you talk about what a Christ-like view of love is?
How appropriate.
A lot of conversation in this culture about love all the time.
Yeah. Of course, the great statement in Scripture is that God is love. Mm-hmm. Our culture has twisted that into love is God. And the no matter where you look, love is tied to our bodies, to our emotions, to a momentary feeling that we may have. And so we use the term so loosely. I love that. I love this music. Oh, I love that food. Mm-hmm. We love everything. But it's attached to our bodily appetites, to our emotions. Sadly, in our culture, our view of love is that it is something we can come in and out of as we feel. And so, you fall in love with this guy or this girl, but that doesn't mean that you're going to love them the rest of your life. And I think that's the mindset of our culture, that love is a fleeting thing. Yeah. And regardless of what you love, and especially with people, and so we'll love, the view of marriage. We would never say as long as we both shall love. That's not how we end our vows. It's as long as we both shall live. But a lot of people live as though as long as we both shall love, yeah, until it doesn't feel good anymore, or it's too hard, and then we're gonna, we'll end this thing. Well, I think again, we've made love to be God, but it's an idol of our own making, and we are defining the terms. Our culture does all the time. And what is true love, biblical love, the love of Jesus? And interesting, in throughout the Old Testament, you have this phrase, the steadfast love of God. And that's deliberate, because love is tied to commitment. And you see God making these covenants with Abraham and his sons after him, and and God speaks of his steadfast love as those covenants are spoken of, his faithfulness to the commitment, the promises that God made. We're going to be looking at this in a few weeks in the series on Abraham, but where God makes the covenant with Abraham and owns it all. I'm going to make this happen even if you fail, Abraham. It's on me to make good the promises of God. And, well, that's the steadfast love of God. And that's really what love is, that it is a commitment to this person. The origin of that, there's a great verse in Deuteronomy 7. Verse 7, where it says, "The Lord did not set his affection on you." And, we think, okay, well, affection, that's an emotional kind of thing. And, but it's far deeper when we talk about the Lord. "The Lord did not set his affection on you and choose you because you were more numerous than other people, for you were the fewest of all people. But it was because the Lord loved you and kept the oath he swore to your forefathers that he brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the land of slavery. Therefore, know that the Lord your God, he is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commands." So God's love, the origin of it is not us. It's not, because of, I love you because, we say that all the time, don't we? I love you because you're so beautiful. Oh, I love you because, you're so kind to me. Or that's not biblical love. That puts the onus on the other person in a way to keep being loving, kind, beautiful, whatever. Because if you're not, then I'm going to fall out of love with you. Well, that's not God's love at all. He looks at Israel, the fewest of people, an unruly, godless people in many ways, and he loves them. His affection is on them, but it's the logic is, I love you because I love you. Mm-hmm. You know, the impetus for love and the origin of it and the drive of it is in God himself and his faithful commitment to the promises he's made. And so when we want to know what love is, you know, love between a man and a woman, it's the commitment within me to be ever for you and committed to you for your good with all my heart, soul, and body. And that's the marriage commitment. So that's why we say in the vows, you know, till death do us part, as long as we both shall live, not love. That's a reflection of the kind of love God has for us. And I think that's really, really important. When I talk with young couples doing premarital counseling, you know, I always ask, you know, why do you want to get married? And, you know, we talk about all that. And, you know, what, you know, why do you love this person? And I said, but are those really reasons to get married? And what I'm driving at is, it's not about how you feel so much about this person. I hope you feel great. I hope you're drawn to them. Absolutely. But are you at that place in your life where you are committing everything about you to this person? Because there's going to be days when they're not lovely. There's going to be days when you're mad as can be. They failed you. And everything in you wants to bail out. And what are you going to do at that point? And see, love says, no, I am sticking with this person. I am committed to this person. And again, that is God's love for us. You know, Israel, so horrendous in her treatment of God, and yet he kept pursuing them. And I think the great display of that in Jesus is in John 13, and permit me to read just a little bit. Jesus, this is John 13, chapter, verse 1. It's just for the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. So he knows he's going to die. I mean, this is the night before his death, and he knows what's going to happen. And then it says, middle of the way, verse 1, having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. And with that, he gets up and he washes the feet of the disciples. And, you know, and he knows that the Father's put everything in his hands. He's returning to the Father. He knows who he is. And at the end of the supper, he talks about how, and you all are going to run away, and one of you is going to betray me. I mean, Jesus washed Judas's feet. He washed, you know, Peter's feet, and Peter, who was going to deny that he, you know, even knew the man. Okay, would you wash the feet of somebody who's going to betray you or run away from you? You know, would you love them even? But Jesus does, and he shows them the full extent of his love by not just doing something nice for us, but dying for us. He gives his life away for a truly wretched bride. Who brought him nothing but misery, pain and sorrow and death. That's what we brought Jesus. And his commitment to us was, I will not stop pursuing you. I will love you. I will love you fully with all my life. And by my life and death, I will make you beautiful. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the beautiful things I get to see, and we see this in our church and hopefully, you know, in our families, not always, but some of these older couples who have loved one another through very difficult circumstances, and in their old age, they get really sweet on one another, and they're just so grateful for the other person, so grateful they made it. They didn't do what the culture would do, and, you know, perhaps just, you know, throw in the towel, but they've got a tremendous testimony, and there's just a sweetness there and a gratitude, and you know, in some, maybe in a much larger measure, we're gonna know that with God. Yeah, only we're gonna be on the receiving end. Thank you for not bailing out on me. Thank you for pursuing me with such faithful love. And yet, what do we teach our children? And you know, this individual who's concerned with what the culture's message of love, rightly so. Lay into the heart of our kids the love of Jesus, what it's like. It doesn't depend on you being good and you following the rules. Jesus loves you because he loves you. Now, that ought to change us. I mean, we really grasp that. The love of God for us and what that he would pursue us to that. I mean, what a ridiculous end, his own death. Who does that, but God does. And that he would do that, I mean, really receiving that and believing that, that will change us. And I think that's what increases our love for God. I think that's what increases our love for others who are difficult to love, because we know God has loved me and I am not easy to love. Mm-hmm. And with the patient, gracious, faithful love of God toward me, there is strength then to love a difficult person in my life. So, yeah, the love of Christ, go right to the cross. Wow, there it is on full display in all its beauty and glory and depth and an absolute commitment to us.
When I think about that, there's something I want to ask you to maybe just further illuminate a little bit. On this topic. You've already touched on this, but I don't want you to come back to it. But I also think about how, I'm speaking of myself here. It was, as a younger Christian, I was all about loving your enemies until I really had one. Yeah, I could be all for that. I thought that was such a wonderful thing until I realized that actually doing that is a sacrifice, and it's it requires godly intervention to do it. But here's what I'd love to have you intervene in. It's because one area that I can see where I have often had my thinking skewed in the area of love is sometimes with my children, I will feel so compelled that I need to give them reasons why I love them. And so I want to, any parent can rattle off a list of what's lovable about their child, right? But what's interesting is the motive underneath that is I feel like I need to tell them that there's something that all these things that are unique to them are reasons that they're lovable. But that's not Christ-like love.
Mm-mm.
That's not why Jesus loves me.
Yeah.
So could you talk about that a little bit more?
Yeah, I think... one level, we do love things about others, and we can appreciate those, and we ought very much to be vocal about those. Portia and I have there's just a freedom in our relationship because we throw around the words, "Yeah, I love you, sweetie. I love you too," and what's the content of that? And so we have the freedom to say, "Why do you love me?" And I can absolutely say, because I absolutely do. My heart just loves you. Now I can say that because I do. But Portia also can say, "What do you love in me?" And that's where it's more of the appreciation. And so I might tick off two, three things that I really love about her. But fundamentally, if those things were missing in her, I would still love her.
And that's what I think the important distinction is. That's really, really important in how we understand what this Christ-like love is.
Yeah, the love of God is loving a person with blemishes and deep faults and loving them all the way to see their reconciliation, their healing, and that may be a lifetime, obviously with some of the stuff in all of us. But again, it's that long haul kind of love. And it's got to come out of not the other person, but out of me, and thus out of God in me, enabling me to love this person. You know, one of the things that I think it's Paul Tripp talks about is, you know, we often play God, and so we argue with God. Well, you know, I wish my spouse were this, or I wish that person was, and we create the person we want them to be, but that they're not. And, you know, so in effect, we're complaining against God, you know, I could do a better job with this person than you have done. And I think one of the things that, and Paul Tripp brings this out, is that when we, especially married couples, we've got to understand that God is working in that person's life. And he's bringing me now alongside with him to work for the good of that person. And so the sanctifying work, the work of beautifying and perfecting them, it is God's work, but he's using me now. And I've got to come in with that humble mindset that, Lord, how would you use me? How may I today, in cooperation with your Holy Spirit, bring blessing to love this person? And that's hard work at times. It really is. But I think the mindset is different, that God's at work in this person's life, and I just get to join God in doing that. And that's all of our relationships, and marriage especially.
Well, this is a good thing for us to meditate on today. Thank you for that. Will you pray for us?
I sure will. Our Father, thank you for your amazing love for us. Lord, we are unworthy and we know it, but you have loved us not because you saw something in us, but because you saw something in yourself, you saw something in Jesus, and there was that steadfast love and faithfulness. Lord, out of who you are, you have loved us and you've made us lovely, and we thank you for that. And we pray that, Lord, you'd fill us with your Holy Spirit and enable us, through the love we know from you, to love one another as we have been loved in Christ. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.